talked about asking last week. I hope this week you bumped it up a little bit and began to ask God for some things, not just the small things, but the big things. How many know God is unlimited in what he can do? He has an unlimited supply, unlimited power, and so we want you to begin to think about, we said that prayer is about asking, but we also talked about that asking comes with conditions. Jesus said, if you ask anything in what? My name, right? He said, you do it in me, you abide in me, my words abide in you. How many know it's important to know what the promises of God are? And the only way you're going to do that is to open up the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says. He says, I give to those who please me. I hope you're a God pleaser today and not a man pleaser. And he said, if you ask anything according to my will, he said, what? I will do it. Amen. So there are some great promises that we have, and he encourages us to come before him and ask him for things. We talked about the Ask, Seek, Knock acronym. We talked about each level as we go from asking to seeking to knocking intensifies, and it involves a little bit more on our part as we move down that chain. And today we're going to be talking about seeking. So our text is back there in Luke chapter 11. We talked about verse 1, where one of the disciples asked Jesus what it was, how to pray. John's disciples were praying, so he said, would you teach us how to pray? We looked at verses 2 and 4. It's the Lord's Prayer, the abridged version, when you compare it to Matthew's. And Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8, talks about a friend in need is a friend in indeed. All right. And so when we need something in life, what do? We turn to our friends, right? And in verse 8 said, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I hope in your relationship with God that you have shameless audacity, that you come before him knowing that he wants you to come to him to ask for things. And I hope you're so confident in that that you do that. That the first person you turn to is God. So we're looking at verse 9 and 11. That's our text here today. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. We said that's a present ongoing verb. It says, for everyone who keeps asking receives, the one who keeps seeking finds, and the one who keeps knocking, the door will be opened. So we talked about asking last week. We talked about it being fundamental to all three levels. Asking is primarily where we begin. How many know that? We begin our prayer life by asking God just for his presence, just for a connection with him as we enter into that prayer closet. And as a newbie in our faith, how many know and how many kind of look back and say, there was a day when it seemed like every time I prayed, God answered. I've heard many people in the church talk about, when I was first born again, it seems like every time I prayed, it just seems like God was just there and he kind of answered it right away. And the answers came readily. But how many know, as we mature in Christ, things begin to change a little bit? How many know that when babies want something, they let you know. Wah! Right? We may not know at the time what that wah is, right? They may be hungry. They may be wet. Maybe they just want to be held. They want attention. How many know sometimes your baby just wants to hear your voice, to let you know, let them know that you're near? When they're cold or they're hot, they let you know. When they're tired, they let you know. When they're not feeling good, they let you know. But how many know that babies grow up? Hallelujah. They grow up. And as babies grow into toddlers, the asking begins to change into seeking. It evolves into something new to our great relief. How many know that they become more mobile? Babies turn into toddlers to become more mobile. And they become more focused. They're like heat-seeking missiles. Are they not? They get their attention on something, and they will roll, they will crawl, they will walk to whatever it is that has their attention. And so it's safe to say this applies to our prayer life as well, that we're no longer, right? But we begin to seek, we begin to see things, and we begin to want things. And so we're moving into that area from just asking. How many know that God still answers right away sometimes when we pray? The Bible says He knows what we have need of before we ask. I mean, I wish prayer was always like that, but it's not. But it's part of the growth process that we must go through when we are maturing in Christ. So we're talking about seeking today. When we talk about seeking, it implies a stronger desire. And so we not only just ask, but we keep on asking. We don't just keep, we just don't seek, but we keep on seeking. We just don't knock, but we keep on knocking. So there's a desire. If you ask the first time and you don't ask again when you don't receive the answer, guess what? It probably wasn't a very strong desire that you had to begin with. But when we desire something, how many know that your kids have a wish list at Christmas? And when they write it out, it's like 3 pages long, right? But how many know that over a period of time, it begins to dwindle down when you say you can only have so many things, right? And what comes to the surface is their desire. And so as believers today, what we really desire in our hearts, we will keep asking for. If we really don't desire something, we're going to stop asking. Seeking also implies a focused request. I don't know if you've ever been hungry and you open up the refrigerator and it's like nothing looks good. You're hungry, but nothing that you're seeing looks good. So what you do is you're kind of going on a quest, aren't you? Finding that something that will just kind of fulfill the hunger that's within you. Seeking is a larger investment of time. See, many of us don't want to spend time in prayer. We just want to ask and get on our way. And so seeking entails a greater investment of time. Seeking also entails a greater sense of urgency and intensity, meaning that there is something that's important to us. Guess what? We are going to spend time seeking the Lord concerning that issue. So when asking seems to be unproductive, or we're not seeing a breakthrough, we're not getting the answer, seeking may be the next necessary step. Maybe it's time we bump it up from just asking to begin to seek after the Lord for that thing in our life that we are desiring to see Him work in. How many of the Bible is full of promises? That anything and everything that you're going through in life, believe it or not, the answer is in the Word of God. It may not say specifically that, but there are principles, there are things in there that will identify, and God will bring it to your attention, and He'll give you promises concerning anything that you're going through. So we know in the Scripture what Jesus' role was, what His model was, why He came. And in Psalm chapter 2, we see that Jesus is given a promise. Did you know He was in Psalms? He's in Psalms. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. We will see that He was promised the nations as His inheritance. I don't know if that was the CA's theme song years ago. Here am I, send me to the nations. You remember that song? Yes, some of you. That old? Okay. All right. But we see that Jesus was given a promise there in Psalms chapter 2. This is what it says. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son, and today I have become your father. That's a little bit prophetic, isn't it? Jesus wasn't always the son. He was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 8, He says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. So Jesus is given a promise here. He is called to ask for the nations as His inheritance for salvation. But when we flip over into the New Testament, we see that it was not just an automatic give me. We look at Luke chapter 19. and 10, and it says, for the Son of Man comes to what? Seek and to save the lost. So we see the promise in Psalm chapter 2. He said, ask. But we see in Luke, we see that Jesus sought. He went seeking. Jesus was intentional in his ministry to the lost. We sometimes think that if we build it, they will come. Right? If we start this ministry, they'll come. If we build a building, man, they're going to come. But we know that's not true. The gospel often records Jesus going off alone to pray. And how many know that sometimes it says he did all-nighters? I don't know, all-nighters would probably kill most of us. It's a reality. Most of us could not last the night praying. But Jesus spent all night. And we can even see in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, that he was praying and his disciples came to him and said, hey, we were watching you pray. We now want you to teach us how to pray like you pray. So prayer and action on the part of Jesus made the promise come true. How many know he is inheriting from all nations people to follow him, to be his disciples? Jesus prayed, Jesus taught prayer, and Jesus set the pattern for his followers. So why do we want to seek? Because there's an intention. There is a result of entering into this second level of prayer. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God. I don't know where the there is for you today. I don't know what your circumstance is today. But let me tell you, from there, you need to define where there is. Because if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you, what? Seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So some of us are there. We're in a specific position, place, circumstance. But if we seek him, with all that's within us, he said, I will answer you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good. How many know the Lord is good? To those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Psalm chapter 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry. This is talking about the tough guys. Those who think they can do it on their own, you're going to get hungry. you're going to grow weak. But those who seek the Lord lack no good things. That's the good news that we have here today. I just want to give you an illustration here about seeking God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. How many know raising children is very interesting? To say the least, right? And it's scary at times. We had a daughter, our youngest daughter, the one in the back, who would disappear at times. She was our Houdini. And how many know when you don't know where your kids are, you go into panic mode? I'm not just talking about public, but I'm talking around the house. She would disappear on us. And we would go through the house looking, calling her name. And we would go out in our neighborhood. We would ask the neighbors, have you seen Daniela? We don't know where she's at. We can't find her. And she was very deliberate in what she was doing. And she knew how to fit into tight places. You know, the obvious places, you look behind the couch or you look under the bed. Those are the kind of places that you would look. But one day we found her in a toy box. You know those little toy boxes with the lids? We found her in there one day. We had a desk in our den, and you know, you keep it away from the wall a little bit because you have wires coming out of the back of your desktop computer. And we spent I don't know how long time looking for her, and there she was, squeezed between this little place between the wall and the desk. But the ultimate place was, we were looking for one day, and all of us have closets, and you have that shelf that's about 5 or 6 feet up in the air. Somehow, I still can't figure out how she got up on that shelf in the closet. But what I want to tell you is that we sought for her with all of our heart and soul. And when we found her, we didn't know whether to cry and hold her and just love on her or beat the snot out of her. You know what it's like, parents. They scare you so bad. You say, the next time you do that, I'm going to kill you. We put it all out there in our search for her. And sometimes it takes a greater effort than sometimes we apply when we're really seeking God for intervention in our life, for Him to do something for us. And sometimes we just need to bump it up a little bit. And it's an investment. There's a cost in following Jesus. You know, to be saved, it doesn't cost us anything. But to follow Jesus, it costs us everything. So we can go out there and say, it's free, it's free, it's free, but that's kind of a lie. Because there's a big price tag in following Jesus. Amen. He gave us all, and guess what? He wants us to give it all. And so sometimes we need to put a little skin in the game. It's called an investment. It's called paying the price. And I believe one of the church's favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11. And many of you can probably quote that. You probably have it hanging up in your wall somewhere. In fact, you hear about Jeremiah 29:11 more in the church than you do about John 3:16 anymore. Everybody knows John or Jeremiah 29:11. And we know it. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Sound familiar? How about change the word plans to promise, right? "For I know the promises I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans or promises to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans or promises to give you a hope and a future." That is God's plan for His people. But you also need to realize that He's talking to the Israelites who are in captivity. They are in Babylon. And He is giving them a promise of deliverance. And how many know if we're in the middle of a circumstance, we can become captives of those circumstances. And He wants us to be free. So many people, when they quote this, that's where they stop. But we need to understand the context of what He's saying here, because He goes on in verse 12 and gives us some more information of what is part of the plan. You see, we like the idea of prosperity. We like the idea of safety and a hope and a future. Yeah, that's my prayer. That's my promise. But look at the second part of the plan. He says then in verse 12. This is part two of the plan. The plan is, you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. That's part of the plan. He just doesn't want to bless you, but He wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. So then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will, what? Seek me and find me when? That's part of the plan, the then and the when. How many know that rhyme? Right? The then and the when, right? It's part of the plan. You'll see the answer, you'll have your answer, when you seek me with all of my heart. And if we go to James 1, it says, if we ask anything of the Lord, and we're double-minded, right, we will receive nothing. And so our heart must be engaged in our seeking. You see, our heart doesn't necessarily need to be engaged in our asking. It does and it doesn't. But when we go to this second level of prayer, when we begin to seek God, it means we have a little bit more investment. We have a little bit more desire to see something happen in our lives. He said, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring back from you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So he's trying to refocus us a little bit here from our needs, the plans, the promises that he has given us to himself. He wants you. Not just your requests. He wants you. He wants your investment. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where God never intended us to be. How many know that? How many of us made some dumb decisions? Understand here today, we were created to serve someone or something. Every person on the face of the earth has a DNA within them that will seek to serve something, whether it's God or something else. And so we need to choose here today. Will we be captives of God, or will we be captives of somebody or something? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I will not be mastered by anything. That's a great declaration for us here this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, I discipline my body. I discipline myself. Galatians 2:20 says what? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we look at this and we see that Jesus' ministry or his plan deals with our freedom. How many know Jesus wants you to be free? He does. And in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we see his ministry here because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah 55, 6 says, timing is everything. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. How many know there's opportune times to really receive from God? How many know that when we are gathered together as the body, it's an opportune time to receive from God? How many know that in your devotional life, it is an opportune time to receive from God? Sometimes when we are moved by the Holy Spirit and he's impressing some things on our heart or convicting our heart, those are opportune times for us to respond. And when we don't, what do? We end up hardening our hearts. And those times can become less and less or fewer, those opportunities for him to operate in our life. Seek the Lord while he may be found. How many know a good time to seek God is when the problem begins to arise? Instead, until we're up to our eyeballs, right? And we begin to cry out to God, and we wonder why he's not doing anything. How many know he's busily trying to dig you out of the hole that you put yourself into? Right? Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek. If you're not earnest, you're not going to seek anyway. It's kind of a redundant term. That if you're actually seeking something, you're engaged. You're trying to make it happen. So, some of you are in la-la land already. I'm going to turn it down to 65 next week. Some of you are too warm and cozy in here today. Amen. So let me just cover this real quickly here as we close out. Why doesn't God always answer our prayers immediately? Number one, prayer teaches us to communicate and fellowship with God. Prayer, as I said, is about asking and seeking. That's where we're at here today. It's becoming familiar with God. It's becoming close to God. It's developing a friendship and a relationship with God. He told his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, because I want to reveal some things to you. I want to give some things to you. And because we know him, we can come boldly. We can come with shameless audacity before God. That's what he's desiring, for us to be shameless in our coming to him and asking him for whatever we have need of. Secondly, why doesn't God always answer our prayers immediately? Paul teaches us patience and faith in God and his promises. We're all familiar with Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, right? When we look at that, we look at these scriptures here. This fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Or not peace. Yeah, patience, forbearance. I don't know where translation I got this from, but it's patience, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many know some of those things are dealing with waiting upon the Lord? How many know you need a self-discipline? How many know you need to be faithful in our process of praying? How many know sometimes we have to demonstrate a little bit of patience waiting on God to respond? Prayer is a discipline. Many of us aren't disciplined in eating. We're not disciplined in exercise. Some of us aren't disciplined in our time. But many of the church is not disciplined in the area of prayer. So God is taking us from a place of just asking to the discipline of seeking, of pressing in, spending time with him. Why doesn't God always answer? Number three, prayer teaches us to love God as our Father and the supplier of our needs. DC Talk had a song, Love is a Verb, many years ago. Love is a verb. Yes, it's found in the Bible as a noun. It's also found as a verb. And so it is. In John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And so it's a verb. God does not just give us promises, but he is the fulfiller of those promises. We see it in the life of Jesus. He loved people, but he also demonstrated that love. And so prayer is one of those areas that we demonstrate our love towards God and that God demonstrates his love towards us. And the last one, number four, prayer demonstrates our dependence upon God. And we looked at that in John chapter 14 through 16. Seven times we read in there, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God wants to be our go-to. Not somewhere down the line, that song years ago, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Right? Why can't we just take it to him to begin with? Right from the beginning. Why can't we make him our go-to? Whatever you ask, we read last week. Anything you ask, whatever you wish, were some of the things that we talked about last week. And he said, I will do it. The Father will do it. That's a promise for us here today. Well, maybe things don't seem as simple as they used to be. And for some of us who have been saved for a while, that was a long time ago. But we all can grasp that idea that when we were first saved, yeah, it just seems like things happened. But as we mature in Christ, how many know God wants us to develop some spiritual muscle? He wants us to spend time with him. To seek him, not just the answer, but to seek the one who gives the answer. That's what his desire is for us. Keep asking. When that's not enough, kick it up a notch. If it's really something that you desire, if it's something you want to see God do for you in your life, it may be material things, it may be spiritual things, it may be in other areas, but we need to kick it up a notch. We need to keep seeking. And in this scripture, it says, if you seek me, over and over again, we gave you a number of scriptures today that says, seek me. And that's what he desires. We need to seek him, abide in him, allow his word to abide in us. All of us have probably stories of where we had to press in and kind of touch the heart of God. And I shared a little bit in my relationship with Karen, and that was probably one of the most difficult moments in my time in my life where I had to pray through. And I was in love with her, and of course, she just wanted to be friends. That's terrible, isn't it? That's an awful place to be, all right? And so, when you're in that situation, you go to people, you ask them, you know, what do we do? You know what? You know, I went to my parents, and how many know parents aren't always give good advice, right? I believe it was my dad who said, you know, think of everything you don't like about her. That wasn't very good advice, was it? I went to some of the spiritual mentors there at the college where Karen and I met. And, they prayed for me and just kind of encouraged us in the Lord. But there wasn't much that they could do about it. They knew both of us. We worked under both, you know, these individuals. And they couldn't help me out a little bit. But I had to step it up a little bit. And I got to the point in my life where, Lord, you're going to either have to change me or you're going to have to change her. And I got a little bit serious. How many sometimes you have to get that way? And I was going nuts in the head because I was in love with her. And so I told the Lord, I will fast every lunch and pray until you either do something in me or you do something in her. So it took me 5 days of that, of seeking the Lord. I was in the prayer room on our floor at the college at the time, and I was weeping before the Lord, just crying out, Lord, do something, do something. I don't even know who came in, laid hands on me, prayed, walked out. I have no idea. But it was in these moments, in this time, that I got a little bit serious and I began to seek God because, how many know the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds, then IV says treasure. So if you're King James, it's a good thing. But I found a treasure in my wife. But it was in that place where I had to get serious with God. And I, you know, went to my parents, went to my friends. They couldn't do anything about it. But I started on Monday, and on Friday I got a call from some girl named Karen. And we walked out to a light post 128 in the parking lot, and she told me she loved me. So, isn't that sweet? It's even on her calendar. Karen said, I love you to Tim. It's on her calendar. All that to say that sometimes, you know, just asking isn't enough. Sometimes we really got to press in and seek the Lord. And I don't know what you're going through. I know some of us maybe here and there, some of you are dealing with some physical things or whatever. But if we really want an answer, sometimes we've got to step it up a notch. Because next week we really step it up a notch. But maybe you just need to go from stage one to stage two. From level one to level two. And maybe you're here today and maybe there's some things going on in your life and you just would love for us to encourage you in prayer. We would love to do that for you. Because it's in moments like this, when you're around God's people who have the Spirit of God in them, that sometimes we receive breakthroughs. And if you're here today and you need a physical touch, we have a number of individuals we're trying to gather here to begin a prayer team for our church. for people to come up and for people to gather around you and just pray. So if you're here today and you need a physical touch, maybe you need something this morning. Maybe you've been asking on your own, maybe it's time, you know, you pull some other people in on what you're going through and allow them to minister to you. Are you here today? And be bold enough just to come on up and pray, and we'll have some people come up and pray with you today. Now's the time.